one prayer. The church stands together. Now, we are finishing up our series we started at the first of the month, One Prayer, where we are joining with over 1,200 churches across the United States and even some worldwide who are praying the same prayer. As you see in your bulletin, you see the outline for the prayer schedule for this month and for this week. You're getting those every week in your schedule. We've been praying those same prayers. Every church who's participating has passed down to the same schedule, and we're praying the same prayers. And we also are preaching the same theme, or we're using the theme Unstoppable. We've been preaching that same thing. Now everyone's preaching however they want to and preaching the message that God gives them, but we're all using the same theme, unstoppable. And so today we're closing this out, and I'm going to talk to you about the theme, unstoppable comeback. Unstoppable comeback. How many likes a good comeback? Anybody like a good comeback? I mean, how many have been watching the World Cup? Anybody watch the World Cup? And don't you just love comebacks? I mean, U.S. been pushing their luck all year, man. We've been whole World Cup, but we finally come a little short, but been coming back from behind, and it's just something about a comeback that charges you. There's something about a comeback that re-energizes you. There's something about a comeback that allows you to get engaged. You know, it's just, I can watch anything. If I think a team's coming back from behind, I don't even have to like that team. I can just get engaged and root for the underdog. I can root for the person who's making a comeback. In society, we like big comebacks. And I believe today, this even correlates to our own life today, that we have people here today that realize this, that God wants you to make a comeback. Let me say, there's people here this morning, you need to hear this message, that God wants you to make a comeback. We're going to be looking at Moses' life today, and we're going to look at Exodus chapter 2. We'll start in verse 11 and 12 and 15 right here. And let's read it together. You can see it on your overheads. Many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews. Of course, we know he was raised the prince of Egypt. He was a Hebrew. And we see here that he was adopted into Pharaoh's court by his daughter, and Pharaoh adopted him. So he was raised as a prince, but really his bloodline was a Hebrew, and he knew this. So he went to visit his own people, the Hebrews, and he saw how hard they were forced to work. During his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. After looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid his body in the sand. And verse 15 says, and sure enough, Pharaoh heard what had happened, and he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in the land of Midian. Now we see here where this is set up, and you guys see this. Moses goes from being the prince of Egypt to being a man on the run. Someone say, man on the run. That's you. He went to be a man on the run. He's a fugitive. He's out there. He's a man on the run. He left the palace to go to the desert. And look what we pick it up here in chapter 3 in verses 1 through 4. Look what happens here. Now Moses finds himself tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock back, and we're at the back of the desert. How many of you feel like you're in the back of the desert somewhere? You ever feel like you left the palace to be find yourself back in the back of the desert? A dry place, a hot place. I mean, you're talking about back of the desert. It says that he found himself attending his father-in-law's sheep in the back of the desert. And he came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame, a fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush, it was burning, but was not consumed. So you can imagine this bush up here today. If it was on fire, flames coming out of it. But if you looked at the bush, even though flames were coming out of it, the bush was still there. It was not burning up. It was not turning to ashes. The bush was maintaining its color, but yet flames were coming out of it. This is what we're seeing here. But it was not consumed. Let's go on to the next verse. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Of course, I would too. I want to look at this. What's going on here? It says, why is this bush not burning even though flames are coming out? And so when God said this, he looked and he saw Moses. Look what it says. And God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. This encounter with God sparked the comeback that Moses faced in this life. It was God speaking through the burning bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses, yes, here am I, Lord. That Moses finds himself in the backside of a desert, that we see God calling out his name. One encounter with the Lord. How many know today that you need an encounter with God? Every one of us here, you need an encounter with God, especially those who feel like you're on the backside of a desert somewhere. You feel like you're in a very dry place. You feel like you've had dreams that have been crushed. You feel like you've made mistakes in your life that have cost you God's will. And you can find yourself living your life feeling like you're so dry, so far away from God's plan. But yet God calls to you today, and he has an encounter he wants you to have with him. Let me give you quickly today three reasons you need a godly encounter, why you need a God encounter in your life. Number one, we need a God encounter so that we will understand that God knows where you are. This is very important to Moses. Moses is feeling very alone in the backside of the desert, taking care of the sheep of his father-in-law. I mean, can you imagine going from the palace to the desert, taking care of sheep for your father-in-law? A very humbling experience, I'm sure. Very much being trained, the best scholars in the world, trained to live as a prince, and yet he's out there taking care of stinking sheep, man, in the backside of a desert. A little overqualified. Look what Exodus 2:22 says. And then Moses was content to live with the man. This is his father-in-law. And his father-in-law gave him Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses. And she bore him a son. And he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a foreign land. Now, for most of us here, the birth of our sons are pretty exciting. When we have a son as fathers, we get excited, don't we? Remember those moments, fathers, when you had that son? Yes, your name shall live on. A son that raises my own. To teach him to, you know. We have all these things about our sons, man. And when we have a son, we are very much thrilled about that. Does Moses sound thrilled here? No. He's like, I got a son, but I guess I'll name him Gershom. To remind myself how miserable I am here on the backside of the desert. I mean, Moses is a very dark time in his life. What should have been a great time, we can see Moses is really going through his midlife crisis right here. He's going through it, man. He's like, you know, I'm blowing it. I haven't accomplished all the dreams God had given me. I feel like God put me in the palace so I could deliver my people and get them free from bondage. And I had this dream of doing this. And now because of one stupid mistake, I'm out here taking care of sheep in the backside of the desert. What should have been a joyous time, he finds himself naming his son Gershom. I mean, that alone should tell you what kind of mood he was in. Okay. But God knew right where Moses was. God knew exactly where he was. God knew exactly where you are in the backside of the desert, and we need to know this, that God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you at all. God did not forget you. Exodus 3:4, look what it says here, Exodus 3:4. So when the Lord saw this, that he turned aside and looked, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He said, here am I. God doesn't forget where you are. God does not forget where you are. And we feel like we're so far from God. We feel like we've blown it so much. We've made so many mistakes in our life that we are so far from God's will. And God will call out to you where you're at. And God is today calling out to you where you're at the backside of your desert. Wherever you're at, God is calling out to you and saying, hey, Moses, Moses, you can insert your name right there. I'm calling out to you. I want to have a God encounter with you. God knew exactly where you were. And he knows exactly where you are today. It's amazing that the big God can still know where you are. This last Wednesday night in our class, we had an amazing class, the men did, man. We had just an amazing class. And in that class, in that study, we talked about really understanding how big God really is. And we just can't, you can't comprehend it. We really cannot comprehend when you think of the size of the universe and the size of galaxies upon galaxies upon galaxies. And the Word of God says that God holds it right there in the palm of his hand. I mean, there's so many galaxies, we can't even measure it all. It's unmeasurable, but yet God says, I measure it in where? In the palm of my hand. We can't understand how big God really is, but that God is so big can yet know exactly where you're at and know you personally by name. They can call you in the backside of a desert when you think you've lost all of your dream. He says, Moses, I see you. Moses, arise. So Moses, I know where you're at. When you find yourself at the point of life, you need an encounter with God. Because let me tell you today that failure is not final. When it comes to God's kingdom and His will, failure is not final. Just because you have failed at times in your life doesn't mean that God has given up on you. Just because you have failed and made mistakes in your life doesn't mean that God still doesn't have a plan for your life. God still has a plan, and He sees you. And you may feel so far away today, but God is waiting to have an encounter with you so that you know that He has not forgotten you. The second thing we see is it's important for us to have this unstoppable comeback. It's important that we know that we have an encounter with God because you will better understand who God is. When you blow it, we often feel like, God, are you even there? You ever had that feeling before? God, are you even there? God, do you even care? I mean, this is Moses' attitude. God, are you even there? God, do you even care? I'm here in the backside. I've blown it. Look what Exodus 3:5 says. And then he said, do not draw near to this place. This is God speaking to Moses. He said, don't draw near to this place. Take off your sandals, off your feet, for the place where you stand is what? Holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses his face. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. We see here where Moses had one thing happen right here in this encounter with God. What did God do? God told him, I am still holy. I am still holy. I am still God. I'm still a holy God. I'm still in control. Go to the next verse there. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are where in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. What was God saying? He says, Moses, first of all, let me tell you this. Take off your sandals. First of all, I am still God. I am still holy. You may think that everything you thought before in your life is not true. You may have thought that everything you've done, that I still am not around. First of all, let me tell you this. I still am God. Let's get it straight. And sometimes God comes to us and says, listen, Jack, let me tell you this right now. You may think you had it all figured out and you got it all under control. He says, you don't know. I am still God and I am still in control. God, where are you? God, have you abandoned me? And God's like, listen, I am still holy. I am still in control. And he says this, and he's letting Moses know, I'm in control. It's okay. I'm still a holy God. And he says, I've heard and I've seen. I've heard and seen the cries of the people. God still hears us, and God still cares for us. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. God still cares for you. Even though you may feel like you're so far away in a dry spot, in a desert spot, I'm here to tell you today that God still cares for you. Religion will kick someone when they're down. You ever notice that? Religion kicks people when they're down. When they find themselves in the backside, whatever happened to Moses? Well, he just blew it, didn't he? He had it all. God was going to use him and all, but he just went ahead and blew it. I knew he was going to blow it. He was always spoiled anyway. Religion kicks people in the damn. Religion brings the adulterous woman before Jesus. Jesus, she needs to be stoned. Religion will kick people when they're down. But God picks people when they're up. He says, woman, he goes, where are your accusers? He said, you without sin, you cast the first stone. And they all disappeared. Religion kicks people when they're down. But Jesus, listen to me, an encounter with Jesus will pick you up where you're at. You may feel like you're down on the backside of a desert. You may feel like you're in a dry place in your life. But God today is calling out to your name, saying, I am here. I am still holy. I know where you're at. I'm here to care for you. You are not alone. I am here. God came not to condemn you, but he came to restore you. Let me hear that again. Let me say that again. You need to hear it. God didn't come to condemn you. He came to restore you. He sees you on the backside, and today God is wanting you to make a great comeback. God is wanting you to make the comeback of your life. God is wanting you to get up and make the biggest comeback ever known to man. He wants you to know this. Number three, We do this because why? An encounter with God, you will understand that God still has a plan for your life. Moses thought he had blown God's plan. He had a dream to deliver his people. He had a dream for God to use him in a great and mighty way. And he thought he had blown it. And God says, no, Moses, I still got a plan. But after an encounter with God, Moses knew that God still had a plan. Look what he says in Exodus 3, chapter verses 9 and 10. Therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, look what he tells Moses, I will send you. Yeah, you on the backside of the desert, feeling all sorry for yourself. He says, get up, Moses. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. You mean, God, the dream that I had from a kid, you're going to bring it to pass? But I made such a big mistake, so I'm a fugitive. I'm on the run. God says, Moses, get up. It's time for your comeback. Get up. It's time for your comeback. God speaks to him and says, I have a comeback in your life, Moses. This is important that we understand this for a great reason. First of all, that God's plan won't happen this overnight. Realize this. God's plan does not happen overnight. That many times we feel like just because it didn't happen right away, that God doesn't want to use me anymore. Just because I have to be out here and it didn't happen overnight, it didn't happen real fast, God didn't put me back into a place where I needed to be real fast, we feel like God has abandoned us. Listen, God's plan doesn't happen overnight. I mean, Moses spent a long time out there in that desert feeling all alone. But God had a plan. God had a plan. He was out there 30, 40 years waiting for God's plan to come to pass. And he had given up on God's plan. He had just said, all right, I'm doomed to the desert. I guess I might as well make the best of it. He was out there. He'd given up. But God spoke to him and said, I know where you're at. You're in the backside of the desert. Why is this important? Because God's more concerned with you and what's happening inside you than he's worried about what's happening through you. Let me say again. God's more concerned about what's happening inside you than what's happening through you. And he knew that it was going to take some time for Moses to be prepared to do the task that he had for him. And so God left him on the backside of the desert so he could work in him the things that needed to be done so that he could get his will accomplished through him. But there was an inside thing that had to happen to Moses first. There was some inside work that had to happen in Moses. Moses had to see what it was like on the backside of the desert. He had to realize some things in his life, and God worked through that time in his life to prepare him for the comeback. And God had a plan for him. He's more interested in what you're becoming, not about what you're doing. I don't care if you're doing all these things for God, but what are you becoming? What are you becoming? Are you really living what you say? Are you really growing in the Lord? God's concerned about these things. It's very true. Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you will what? Be faithful to complete it. He who begun a great work in you is faithful to complete it. Let me say again. He who begun a good work in you is what? Faithful to what? Complete it. I mean, even though you may feel like you're on the backside of the desert, God still wants to complete the dream in your life. God still wants to complete his will in your life. God still has a plan for you. And he wants you to get up and make a comeback. He wants you to get back up on your feet, which takes us to the second part of this. Knowing this and God's plan has a plan for life. We got to get back up. You got to get back up. God's not done with you. There's not a person in this room that God is done with. Some of you feel like God's done with me. I might as well just accept that fact that I'll never get to the place where I once was. Well, I'll never get to the place where I thought I'd be. Because of a bad something that happened in your life. Maybe you made a huge mistake. Maybe you've been married two or three times. Maybe you've had failed marriage. Maybe you've had failed things that happened in your life. And you've had some great falls in your life spiritually. And you feel like, I just blown it, man. I might as well give up. God will never use me again. God is wanting to use you. God is wanting you to get back up on your feet. He wants to call out to you in the middle of your desert and say, daughter, son, I'm not done with you yet. I still see where you're at. I know you are hurt. I know you made a great mistake. I know it wasn't your fault. But I'm not done with you. He sees us and he speaks to us and says, I'm not done with you. I have a plan for your life. I have a dream for you. I want to fulfill the dreams I've placed in your heart. This is an important thing. Look what Exodus 3:11 says. What did he say? But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out to Egypt? Isn't it so true? God calls to us in the backside of our desert. He's saying, get up, John. He calls to us in the backside of our desert. He says, Neil, get up. And we're like, God, I know you got a dream, but God, you know I made him a great mistake. Like he doesn't know that. Thank you for giving him information he already knows. Oh, God, you probably forgot. I'm the one who blew it. Remember what happened 5 years ago? Remember 10 years ago when no one ever accepted me again? God says, get up. Quit, stop. Stop disqualifying yourself when God's qualified you. That's what happened here. Moses was disqualifying himself. God, you got the wrong person. Surely, God, you don't want to use me. Disqualifying himself. Stop disqualifying yourself. And when God speaks to you, follow his voice. Follow his voice. There's an encounter that God wants to have with you. Moses said, who am I? We often try to disqualify ourselves. And God's wanting to use us. We've blown it. Look what Proverbs 24:16 says. I didn't have overhead, but listen to it. It says, the righteous man may fall how many times? 7 times. It says, the righteous man may fall 7 times, and what? He shall rise again. The righteous man shall fall how many times? 7 times, but yet he still shall rise again. And today, when you make your comeback, get this key to it right here. You need an encounter with God. You need an encounter with God today. If you want to make a comeback today, and God, you say, God, I've blown my dreams. God, I've blown my chance. God, will you ever use me again? God, I was treated unfair. God, this happened. Listen, we've all gone through things. We've all made mistakes. We've all had disappointments. We've all had setbacks, okay? If everyone wants to go through and tell our story, man, we've all been through. We've all got a story, okay? You're not the only one. It's called life, and we go through these things, and we go through tragedy, and we go through heartaches, and we go through things that either happen because of our own fault and some things that were not our fault. But whatever it is, God still has a plan for your life. And he speaks to you on the backside of your desert and says, get up! Get up! Get up, I ain't done with you yet. Get up, I still got a plan for you. Get up. You feeling dry? Great. Now I can pour my water into you. You feeling empty? Great. Now I can refresh you. You feeling lost? Great. Now I can lead you. You see the plan. God said, I've got you exactly where I want you. I'm going to lead you now. Get up. It's time for your comeback. It's time for you to get back up. And today, there's too many people who are in our churches who are needing to come back. And you've given up, you've thrown in the towel because either a mistake or you are hurt somewhere or someone did this to you or you were just blown it and things happened to you and you're ready to throw in the towel. I'm just going to go to church and that's it. I love the Lord. I love the Lord and I'm at church. My kids are here. But God, I'm just not going to do it anymore. God says, get up. Get up. It's time for your comeback. God speaks to us today. And he just says, I am not through with you. That's the awesome thing about our Savior. He doesn't throw us away. But he takes that clay and he remolds it. And he forms us into the person. You know what? God specializes in broken vessels. He specializes in restoring. He's the best heart surgeon I know. He restores the broken heart. And what happens is he takes us and he uses you in a greater way than you could ever could be used otherwise. I've gone through some hard things in my life. You know what? I'm a better pastor because of it. I've gone through some tough things in my life, but I'm a better husband because of it. Did I like going through it? Did I feel like I was going in the backside of the desert? Yeah, there's times I did in my life. But you know what? I thank the Lord now. I'm better for it. I'm better for it. And God's speaking to you and saying, you know what? I want to call you up again. I'm ready to rise you back up again. I want you to bow your heads this morning where you're at. First of all, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, you're talking about making a comeback, the first thing I need to do is, first of all, just get right with God. I never had my heart right with the Lord. Maybe you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior before. And today you realize, you know what, Pastor, I'm just lost, and I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. First and foremost, I need to believe that he died on the cross and was raised again. I need to confess that I'm a sinner in need of his lordship in my life. Or maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I know that already, and I've even prayed that prayer, but in my heart, I've been so far away from God. I prayed that prayer a long time ago, but in my heart, I've been so far away from God. And today, I just want to come back and renew my relationship with Jesus Christ. I need to get back in church. I need to renew my commitment to him. If you're here today, nobody's looking at all. I want to give you that chance. This is a very important time. They say, Pastor, I'm ready to make that important decision. Can you just raise your hands? That's me. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else that say, Pastor, that's me. I'm ready. Thank you. Several hands going up today. This is me, Pastor. I'm ready today to make Jesus Lord of my life. You want to join this half a dozen today? He's already raised your hand. So that's me. I'm ready to make this decision. Anybody else? One more time today. If you haven't raised your hand, you want to do it. Now's the time. Raise it. It's time. It's time. Don't wait any longer. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. This is the most important decision of your life today. Are you ready? That's you. One more time. Will you raise your hand? That's me. Thank you. Today, we're going to say this prayer together. We're going to all repeat it today, especially those who raised your hands. I want you to repeat this prayer from your heart. Let's say it out loud together. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. I give to you. And today I receive your forgiveness. And I confess you as Lord of my life. I will live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time or renewing your commitment, we say, welcome to the family of God. Let's give them a hand clap, yeah. If you raised your hand today and prayed that prayer, before you leave today, stop by our Welcome Center. We have some free gifts for you there. We got a free Bible and some other things inside to tell you what to do next, how to connect with the body of Christ, and just what's the next step. You need to be involved in a home church. You need to be here regular. Don't wait till Easter to come back to church, okay? We don't want to see you on Easter. We want to see you next week, okay? It's important. It's an important time to get connected in the home church. If you don't have a home church, get connected. We welcome you here. Get connected in the home church with people who will love and support you. I'm going to ask you today, you don't have to bow your heads for this, but how many today say, Pastor, I'm ready for a comeback, man. I'm ready for a comeback. Anybody here today, I'm ready for a comeback in my life. I'm tired of sitting on the backside. Stand to your feet today. Let's all stand to our feet today. Several hands going up. Say, I mean, I'm ready for God to do a comeback in my life. I don't want to stay there on the backside, but I want God to take me and to use me. I want to have an encounter with God that will propel me back to the place he's calling me to be. I'm going to invite you to raise your hands today if you feel comfortable doing this. We raised our hands as a sign of victory last week. We talked about with guys, didn't we? Sign of victory. It's also a sign of surrender. Father, we lift our hands up to you today. God, I pray for every person who raised their hands, Lord, who said they're ready for a comeback. God, I pray today that your spirit, Lord, will begin to draw them with an encounter with you, that they'll never be the same. God, my life is eternally changed because of an encounter with you. God, you forgave me of things in my life that I didn't think I could be forgiven of. But God, you've forgiven me, and you've restored my life. And God, you've placed me back into a place, Lord, of being used of you. And God, there's all of us here today that, God, you have calling us out, Lord, to be a comeback. You've not called us to give up. So God, I come against any spirit that tries to give up, But God, today, we're not going to disqualify ourselves. But God, we say, through you, we're made whole again. Through you, we can be perfected again. Through you, we can be used again. And God, I pray that as our heart hungers, Lord, for an encounter with you, I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, begin to rest in our hearts, God, and move in us, God, to draw closer to you. And God, as we encounter you, God, in your presence, God, it draws us. God, it draws us out of the backside of the desert. And God, we hear our name being called once again. And God, as your Holy Spirit's calling our name, it's saying, get up. Get up. It's time for your comeback. It's time for you to get up. You didn't blow it forever because I've got a plan for your life. And God, you got a plan for our life. And to God, we say yes to that today. We say yes to that today, God. We're making a step that says, yes, Lord, we're making a comeback. We're not going to sit back any longer, but God, we're making a comeback. And Lord, we make a comeback with you, God. It's an awesome thing. You're going to bring back the marriage. You're going to bring back our children. You're going to bring back, Lord, our things that we've given up on. God, you're going to bring back things in our life. God, we thought we're lost to the desert. But God, you're going to restore lost streams. You're going to restore the anointing, God, that you have upon our life. You're going to restore ministry. God, you're going to restore vision. You're going to restore purpose. You're going to restore destiny. Because God, you're the God of the comeback. You're the God of the comeback. And God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, and we give you praise together. And we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit today. And we say together, amen, amen. Turn around and give someone a high five. Say, God is good. God bless you today. You have a great week.